Good evening.
Good evening.
It is Wednesday. It is 7 o'clock. And we are deep into the study of the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. And this is class number
54. Say
so,
some more.
As you can tell, this is the slow reading group. We do our best, and we're okay with it. We're proud of who we are. So, anyway, what we've been doing is we've been taking this particular book, and that in part was meant and been used as a device for people to read with individuals who have passed away or who are voyagers, and we've turned it to also look at it in terms of what does it say to me in my everyday life? And we're harvesting some of that information so we can see what is it like if I am the voyager. And as I've read through these dynamic passages and chambers over the last over a
54
year,
weeks.
54 weeks, and I've used a lot of other material as well, and I wish to even enhance it more in the future. But in this particular read through it, I was very, very moved by this last set of chambers. And in the email I sent out, Pat,
mm-hmm.
I'm referring to the three chambers now.
Good.
We finished at chamber 42nd chamber.
Yes.
So I've kind of grouped
yes.
3, 4, and 5.
Good.
I don't know. I'll tell you why, okay?
Sure.
It doesn't, who knows if it makes sense. That's what I did. And if you start to look at them, the Voyager is caught in a very unique and very interesting situation here. Read the very first line of 43, if you would, Pat, please.
If I want to fight off the pursuers, I should immediately and without taking refuge in a hiding place, visualize the beloved as a huge and terrible demon with large thick limbs, standing in an attitude of wrath and anger.
I've read this over the years, of course, and I always love the phrase, with thick limbs.
Oh, yes.
With thick
yes.
limbs. But
large.
So look at this guy here. This guy, he's being pursued by demons, first of all.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
And then the guy says, the instruction says, don't go into the hiding place.
Right. Do not.
And then do this other thing, this other visualization.
Yes.
So when I thought about that, I thought about it a great deal, and I thought, my goodness. So whatever is going on around you is going on around you. Now, in this instruction, it says, first step, don't go hide from it. Now, if we go back to Chapter 7, The Practical Work on Self, we understand where it says, talking about looking for Dr. Livingston, and various things come up, and he says, I am not that. Doesn't mean that you don't recognize it, but I am not that is the key. I had a meeting with somebody today, and the individual was telling me that they had suffered for the last 2 weeks a serious depression. And then they had the thought came floating through to them, oh, whenever I get into that state, that means this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. So for a second, that individual had the opportunity to not identify.
Yes.
They became, for a moment, I am not that. And that's what this Voyager is going through, too. I mean, this poor bastard, first of all, it doesn't say, you know, I'm here at the pleasant garden and there's little ducks and birds. This guy's pursued by demons.
Yeah, he's not having a pleasant time.
I mean, so that's the situation when you're in there. The key is this. First of all, don't go into a hiding refuge. Boy, that's important. And you do not seek that. You stay apart from that. You stay apart from that. You observe what it is that's going on. And then there are other techniques. Does this make sense?
Well, that's the first part of what you're going to tell us, why you're putting the three chambers together.
Yeah. Part of it is because of the, you're going to see that in the third chamber is a, they're all thematically similar.
Yes.
They're thematically similar, and in the 45th one, there's a really unique solution. And so I thought I'd weave them all together. I don't know if we'll be able to get through all of this today, but I just thought it was an interesting weave when I was reading over the weekend, and that's how it came together last night, and it was only this morning that I actually sent the email out. And so this is a very important point. Can you stand in a posture where you are not that thing that you are going through? And you notice, I'm in anxiety right now. Curious.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if you note that, have you also noted that you're able to take a pause? Because noting it actually gives you that little bit of a breath. It separates you just a small bit from your involvement in what's going on around you and your identification with it. So that's actually one of the clues that you're talking about that are consistent in these chambers.
They're consistent. And then in this particular case, the Voyager then invokes the beloved. And at the end of that paragraph, or not at the very end, but it says, I'll have the beloved crush all those evil forces into the ground. Then, while protected from these evil beings, listen to that. Then, while protected, then what's the next line?
I'll have the opportunity to choose a womb more or less at my leisure and make the proper choice according to my needs as a voyager.
This is a very delicate moment. It's startling how important and critical this balance is at this point. Because
David,
first, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I have a question when it's appropriate.
Sure. Let me just finish this one point, Harry, okay?
Sure.
Is that the individual first with recognize by observation, they recognize they're in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that has to be almost like an automatic response. You get hit by this, and the automatic response is not to react.
Here I am, look around, what do I see?
The in-between state called observation.
Yes.
And then it gets revealed why you're doing this. Because you're already in the shoot towards rebirth. That's going to happen anyway, baby. So then you now have your fingers on at least a toehold from the sea of reactivity.
Yes, because the phrase is, then while protected. Protection grants you the opportunity for choice, and it also, in a certain way, it gives you even more objectivity, because it says the opportunity to choose a womb more or less at my leisure and make the proper choice. So you get to do some evaluating. You get to do some assessment. You get to do some matching up of your needs as a voyager with the options for different lifetimes that will be displayed in front of you, which, of course, is coming up in
the
45th.
And what we want to say here is, don't forget, these chambers we've discussed in detail over the last several weeks are not associated with a physical day.
Correct.
This is a process. Okay? Harry, do you still have a question there?
Yes, I do, David. I mean, this implied ability to choose seems to be prefaced in that very first statement that Pat read on, in this chamber. That is, I just visualize the beloved as a huge and terrible demon with thick, large limbs. That would seem, at least to me, to imply that all of this is all of my own projection, because EJ goes through this every chamber, it seems like, that this is everything I've made, all of this. And even at this late stage, it's still the case. So if I can realize that just a little bit, I realize I still have some choice left.
Yes.
If you read the, if we go back quickly and read through all 49 chambers, we would see that there's, that instruction is in almost every chamber.
All of them.
Yes.
This is my projection. I am bringing this forth. This is my, I'm realizing this is my projection, and so on and so forth. And but guess what? When you have, and this is very important for the guide, okay? This is a critical point I'm about to make. And that is, that the voyager is almost born afresh as you go from chamber to chamber. And then you say to the voyager once again, oh, don't forget, this is your own projection. And you say it in 49 different ways and 149 different ways, if need be, because your job is to be the guide, right? And not to say, didn't you get this?
Right.
So, Harry, you're exactly right, but we have to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I don't know what you have planned for your day tomorrow, Harry, but you're going to do something and you're going to be in some event. And in that event, there'll be a situation where there will be a reactive matrix that occurs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's a nicely said.
And while you're in that, you can either be a reactivity or you can also step back for a second and wonder, why did I create this? Mm-hmm. What is it that I've brought before me right now? Why did I bring this now? And when you stand in that position, you stand heavy with strong feet planted in, I am not that. And at that position, then you have an opportunity to do what's at the last sentence of that first paragraph. Right?
Choose a womb more or less at my leisure and make the proper choice according to my needs as a voyager.
So if I am a, if I am practicing this every day, let's see, tomorrow when I go, I have an early morning meeting. There's going to be a lot of issues in it, and I can already see, it's like I can see my machine getting ready for its reactivity in that morning meeting. Okay? But I have an opportunity now, because I'm reading this together with my fellow voyagers. I can say, oh, I'm just going to show up and I know I'm going to, I can say, I am not that, but I'm going to observe what's going on around me, right? All right, so let's slide into the next chamber. Oh, go ahead.
I've been recently reading for three different voyagers, and it's been helpful because different things get emphasized. But on one of the voyagers who in life was not at all receptive to the teaching, this line here, I'll simply remember that they are my demons and I'll just make a bigger demon to stop them. That line, more than any other line, I could hear it resonating, and there was kind of this sense of humor and enlightenment. So it's funny that you were saying that each new chamber is, that particular instruction really came through.
Over and over again, we have to be reminded that we have this as a tool. We have it as a tool, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. My question is, here we are in this particular event right now, in this particular chamber that I'm together. Well, how many people are online? 14 people, and there's several
six.
People here. Six, okay.
Well, I'm counting forms, okay?
Okay,
I'm not differentiating.
I couldn't count for the second.
Yeah.
And then, so there are 20 of us together, gathered together, to remind each other to practice this tomorrow. That's what we're gathered. So because you have come together tonight, you're going to help me tomorrow morning remember this. You understand that? Like everybody here, I don't know everybody's name on the line, but that's signed in. But it's helping me forge it a little deeper into my being.
Well, I think we have the principle of borrowed necessity.
Borrowed necessity.
In this configuration, we have the opportunity for borrowed and received necessity and therefore service. Because what we're doing is applying our attention and concentrating our being will force to provide for ourselves the opportunity of choice.
The opportunity of choice. So everybody, here's another slant that I'll just reveal how I see it sometimes. Everybody that's here tonight, online, physically here, is doing it specifically for me.
Exactly. Yes.
Specifically.
Yes.
And specifically for you.
Exactly for me.
And exactly and specifically for the next person you're going to read. Who's their name? Read their name. So specifically for Hawk Lady as well.
Yes.
This is a form of group work that is available only when we work together in single-mindedness, that we come together, we weave. You hear this idea about weaving the great quilt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing right now. Because every time there's one stitch that happens that strengthens the fabric of who I am, it strengthens the fabric of our group, which strengthens you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
There's no center to this circle. Yet each is a center to the circle. Okay?
I will give...
Keep going.
The 44th chamber, the first paragraph, and then we will have the last line. The paragraph says, all these gods and demons have taken form through the power of my beliefs about reality. Describes how everything is made, doesn't it? at this point, probably the best thing I can do is meditate on the great emptiness of the void of luminous, shining, clear light. But if I can't do that, I can at least take a bigger part in the drama that's going on by creating a bigger and better demon out of the beloved, which is my own teaching essential self formed out of my own consciousness.
What? Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense.
You read it then.
How could that be?
It makes perfect sense for me. The last line, please. Yes. Hand the lady the phone, please. The last line, please. Yes, please. Here it comes.
If even that isn't possible for me, then I'll just withdraw from the whole drama. Unfortunately, I put the dramatic tone in, which makes it feel like you just stepped down into depression. Yeah. It's okay. The 45th is coming up here. Thank you.
It's just classic. There's not a single piece of this that isn't classic ABD. It's gods and demons. It's the drama and the clear light. And it is only I, which is the teaching essential self, and the beloved. What else could you possibly ask?
I was just wondering, Silverdale, what do you think he meant when he wrote my own teaching essential self?
Yeah, you know, we all have within us a particle of divinity which knows all of this. We just haven't built a bridge of understanding to that fact. And part of this book is to help us to understand exactly that. The teaching of our
What a nice line, a bridge of understanding between our essential self, right?
That's right. And essentially, what I learned is that, first of all, we learn to try to educate ourselves, our historical personality, about these ideas, and then we try to educate our essential self or establish some kind of a line of communication, and then we find that our essential self awakens. We become pacified, and our essential teaching self kind of brings us into these chambers to experience it.
That's it.
Beautiful.
That's it.
So I think what Silverdale is implying is that I have my own teaching essential self. Is he saying that?
He did.
You mean me too?
Yes. Even you.
Even me.
Even I. Even each one of us. Each and uniquely each has his own, unique to himself,
and it is
teaching
unique.
Essential self, each of us, each to
so
ourselves.
I visualize the extension and manifestation of the Godhead in the same way that Silverdale is telling us, is that there's a particle of me that is part of that original, infinitude, this original eternality. And gradually, through form of work, I get in touch with that eternality. And I can feel it. And I feel at those moments that's when I feel like I'm closest to home.
And, you know, Dave, there's another aspect I like to just suggest, which is our essential self, that particle of divinity, which is one-third of who we are, emanates throughout the whole of its universe. And the whole of its universe, of course, is our physical body. So kind of like the sun emanating throughout the solar system, the Earth receives a tiny fraction of all that, even if it seems full and complete, you know, during the course of a day. And in this case, what we're trying to do is sensitize the whole of our physical body to an awareness of that emanation that is presently arising within us. And going through these chambers kind of establishes that relationship between the dense materiality of our physical body and this emanating, clear, luminous, shining light, which is also present simultaneously. It's just until we study it, we're not aware of it.
We're not aware of it, but there is a mode. I was reminded when I was reading this the other day, this concept of this luminous shining, clear light. Many, many, many years ago, when I was a young man, I was in Boulder, Colorado, and Lee Loswick, I had no idea who he was. This was way before I got associated with EJ's work. Lee Loswick had come to town, and a couple of cronies of mine, we were kind of hardliners, basically didn't believe in anybody. And we went to see this guy talk. And here he is, he's talking, he's all frilly a little bit, and there's all these women, and we thought, what is this stuff? You know? And their hands are moving, and you know, oh my God. And so he's talking about, you know, the feminine and the divine feminine and all this stuff, and I finally raised my hand, and I said, you keep talking about the feminine and how the feminine this and the feminine says, how does the masculine manifest? And the room went quiet, including Lee Loswick, for seemed like an hour, but it's probably 30 seconds at the most, even though I doubt it was even that long. And then he looked at me and he said, it hot, clear, white light. And I got it. I mean, I saw it, because for me, that was the luminous, shining light. There's a moment that we can get to when we are in what I call clean objectivity. And now, I don't mean that in a mental way, but it's a state of objectivity where you see the demons, the gods and demons. Oh, there they are. You just notate that. Note it. I see. Note. I note this. That there's a luminosity that starts to emerge when you can stand in that position. And it is not a personal thing. There's not a personality to it. It just is. And gradually that light starts to be able to manifest, because it says, I can. And I think to personalize it, I think God is sitting there all day long, like with his cheerleader pom-poms, trying to like get everybody to say, here I am, take it. You know, and he's just, it's free. And just looking for someone who's willing to take it. And of course, we must become something different in order for that to occur. And all these three chambers are telling us, oh, you can. Keep going.
I'll give a little tiny bit of a slightly different picture on the conversation here. Because when we get into the 45th chamber, we have a lot to see. But here's a way of looking at the 44th chamber. When there is the opportunity to have the experience of godness, humanness, and spiritness, that's the three-centered being in human being. And that in the Christian religion is sometimes talked about as the spirit, the divine spirit, the mother, the Christ, and the God. You've got that Trinity thing going. In this particular sentence, there is a way of looking at this point. Probably the best thing I can do is meditate on the great emptiness of the void of luminous, shining, clear light. Empty, void, and light. But if I can't do that, I can at least take a bigger part. So this is the involvement that we are encouraged to take a bigger part in the drama that's going on by. Here is where some people in the Christian faith would describe this as one of the mysteries. We can get into that some other time. Creating a bigger and better demon out of the beloved, which is my own teaching essential self, formed out of my own consciousness. There's another way of taking some of this in as part of a structure you may already know something about, which is you must take your step inside of the drama in order to enlarge it, take on a bigger portion of it, so that there becomes a place for that teaching self to blossom. That's just another little thing.
We have a few comments, Dan.
Okay. Simon Templar says, what will mean creating a better or bigger demon in this context? What is the message beyond that image? We are already creating our demons. How or why I would create a bigger one if we take EJ's words literally?
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay, and Tianjo says, when we see things from the viewpoint of Earth, we have darkness and light. When we view things from the viewpoint of the sun, we see only the brightness of emanation everywhere, where no shadow abides.
That's it?
Thank you. Can we hold on your question, Simon Templar, until we've done 45, because there's points that relate.
Why don't we
start?
Do it into 45.
Okay. 45th chamber. If I'm still being forced to enter a womb, then I might as well make the best of it. Since I now possess the supernatural power to know all the particulars of any single incarnation or lifetime, I have some idea of the options and choices available to me. I'll choose a lifetime as if I were buying a used car. There are higher births in the upper realms and lower births in the three lower dimensions. I might even be able to obtain a rebirth in the realm of pure light. To transfer to a pure realm of higher being, into the realm of clear, shining light, I'll concentrate my attention in this way. Here's one of the greatest prayers in the ABD.
One of the things to notate, though, is that during these three chambers, the concept is to develop discernment back and forth. Demons, gods, demons fighting the demons, demons, clear light. But it's having the ability to develop discernment that is critical. Because if you can develop discernment, then you have a chance to do, to select. And I wanted to just underline, we might as well make the best of it. Now, I pondered that and I thought, well, what could it possibly mean, the best of it? I mean, the guy's dead already. I mean, how do you make the best of it at this point? And I think that's answered in 43, where it says, a life, and we're going to see more of it in 45 here, but it says, in he goes, I'll have the opportunity to choose a womb more or less at my leisure and make the proper choice according to my needs as a voyager. That's the that's the issue of making the best of it. If you don't develop discernment, you won't be able to stand in that place for very long. Does this make sense? I want to make this is a very important point, developing the discernment to know things are when it's changing and not be caught up in it, but to observe it.
Just a simple question. What example can you easily use in this moment to describe for yourself what the discernment is that David's speaking of? Here's my example.
Okay.
A non-verbal example. You may have to wait for a moment to see it on the visual. Oh.
It just so happens they're reloading. I don't know if this is true for everybody.
Oh, reloading on the visual?
That's right. You'll have to, so you're now back on the air, and so you'll have to start the visual again.
I will give the visual again. This is an immediate example of the type of discernment, an example for me of what David's talking about. That's a blatant example.
As you go through your day tonight, for the rest of the night, and tomorrow, try to find moments where you can practice the art of discernment.
Good one.
Okay?
Good one.
How does it work for you? You will absolutely be in a situation tomorrow where you'll be caught in the mechanicality of your historical personality, no question about it.
Without a doubt.
And that's a moment where you can develop discernment. You can watch the bloody machine and go, wow, I am not that. Because every moment that you do that, it's one more penny in the essence box, in the essence bank. Okay? And you put another penny in.
Yes.
Some people have other techniques that are very specific, but I'm just saying, I know you're going to go through your day tomorrow. You're going to, whatever you're going to do, but don't seek hiding.
Right.
Back to 43.
Right.
40.
Yes, 43rd.
Don't seek the hiding place. Watch it unfold, because you have the power to say at that point, I am not that. Is that cool?
It is one of the better options.
That's way cool.
Yeah, and it says even make the best of it. That would be the best of it, to take the opportunity that you will create for yourself by not identifying with the fear, by by choosing, by making a choice.
Now, if let's say that this occurs tomorrow, and you do get caught up in the fear,
of course.
You do have a reactive thing, and you're fuming away, or you're in depression, or you're in self-pity, any of those special, special places that we all have for each other, for ourselves, and you're driving, you go,
oh, shit.
You know, I blew it. Even that is a moment of discernment, okay? Even that is a moment of discernment. We're trying to do the big kids show and be able to stand in that place while it's occurring. You have to practice.
And here's the description.
Walk me through it.
Alas, what a bummer that after all this time floundering around in the stinking swamp of planetary existence, after countless ages of creation and destruction, without beginning and without end, while so many others were able to liberate themselves, I haven't been able to liberate myself or even ask for help. Now, I'm going to get on with it. Even here, in the place of rebirth, it's not too late, even now. From this moment on, I feel sickened by the six lower dimensions. There's nothing there for me. I don't want any part of them. There's nothing to learn there. Nowhere to hide. Nothing but suffering and filth. I'm tired of them. Now, it's time for me to give up living in the six lower dimensions. So, going to bring about my spontaneous rebirth in a lotus flower at the feet of the beloved in the pure realm of a clear shining light. I'm going to bathe in the pure light and wash off all this foul, reeking crap that's been accumulating on me. I feel filthy and disgusted by all worldly accumulations. I have to be cleansed. Now I'm going. I'm being born in the realm of luminous, clear light, and the beloved will cleanse me. I can feel the purity. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm going. While you read this to yourself, or if you're working with reading to each other over the phone or Skype or in person, while you're reading this, to yourself or to each other, recall in this day or just in the last 7 days, which particular thing are you disgusted about enough to give it up? Because this is not only choice, this is determination. From this moment on, I feel sickened by the six lower dimensions. There's nothing there for me. I don't want any part of them. That is an active determination.
So,
that is not surrender.
What you can do, you can study what these are, these six dimensions. They're discussed in this particular book, but they're also quite liberally discussed in the Buddhist literature, and understand what they are, have a sense of what they are. But I wanted to point out when I was listening to Pat Reed, I'm tired of them now. How is it that you're tired of them? Because guess what, Sailor? You've been through these things over and over and over. You keep selecting them. Because it's the best shot you got.
There has to be some degree of discernment.
There you go.
And some degree of detachment in order to reach the conclusion that you're tired of them. You have to have enough distance to go, oh, man, I don't want that anymore. That's not what I'm going for. You need some detachment, and you need to have had enough of a long view about who you are, where you've been, and what's been going on for you to have this picture which says, I feel sickened by the six lower dimensions. How are you going to know that? This is a lot of education here, a lot.
You know it in part because you've spent time selecting those. The six lower dimensions over and over and over again, the brute worlds and the hungry ghost worlds and the God realms is one of them too, by the way. And you keep selecting them because it's the easiest thing to do.
Yes,
this is
the
not the easiest thing to do. That's the whole point. These chambers are discussing the concept of a discernment building, and we got to practice it. That's all. So we go through a number of things. You're tired of it because you've had to go through those again in your incarnations. In this particular, well, one thing I'd like to suggest, and I've done this before myself, is get a sense of what these worlds are like, okay, these six lower dimensions. Kind of like sit with each of them for, you know, like the brute world.
Yes. Recall to yourself the experience of them for yourself.
And since we are projecting these worlds, and you go through your day tomorrow, like I am, and I'm going to be driving down to Sacramento, I'm going to be in touch with various forms of these hungry ghost worlds, brute worlds, and I'm going to go, oh, I see, I'm pulling this out again. Am I not? But then I observe it, and I observe it, and I observe it. Because in the form of the power of observation is spectacular.
The power of observation is your leverage against automatic default reactivity. That's one of the best tools you have in your toolkit.
You
or
know,
reclaiming yourself to yourself.
I thought, what would I do? So here we are, it says make the best of it, right?
Right.
And where would I stand if I was sitting there and I'm in this concept of make the best of it, and I had to think, how would I choose? Let's just say I'm sitting there. How would I choose? How would I go? What process would I use to choose? And it's right in the last parts of this chamber.
Yeah.
The last parts of the chamber say what? Just the very, like, the last few phrases.
I have to be cleansed of them. Now I'm going. I'm being born in the realm of luminous clear light, and the beloved will cleanse me. I can feel the purity.
Now, so this guy is without a body. So what does it mean I can feel the purity? Huh?
He's without a body.
Yeah.
And so what is he going to feel with, and what is he going to feel?
And I think George has the answer for us.
George?
You know, my experience is that over time we actually acquire this inner vibratory sensation, which we identify as our new sense of self. And that sense of self is without form because it is a state of feeling, and within that feeling are other perceptions as well, but somehow they're insignificant compared to the feeling.
So that's precisely what my perception is too. That's my guide, is the vibratory sensation. Can I find it in what I'm looking for? Does this make sense?
It is not as clear as it would be if we were looking at it from the point of view of this Voyager, which says, if I'm still being forced to enter a room, then I might as well make the best of it. I'll bet you that urgency of being forced to enter a womb helps to provide some of that impetus of noticing and paying attention and actually honing some of that sensing capacity. It's the situation that's being described in the chamber which allows you the opportunity to take the situation and use it. You know? I mean...
Somehow you have made... If right now, and I've said this last week too, reflect back on the choices you've already made.
That's right.
Like, I made a choice that the results of that choice brought me to be sitting in this chair right now, tonight. Now, I had a complex thing, as Harry has. Both of us had to be adopted by a different set of parents in order to be raised in the format that was required. The parents that raised me from day one, basically, couldn't have children, but they were, in a sense, the ideal parents for what I needed in order to develop the skill set and the sensitivity that I have that I'm using today. So what choices did you make?
And Dave, I might just remind all of us that one of the aspirations is, if we're going to be born again, have to be enter a womb again, is to be born into the teaching or with the possibility of finding a school. And I was particularly interested in this comment in the 45th chamber that we pick lifetimes like we are picking a car. And we have supernatural powers to understand all the consequences of all the lifetimes that are available to us. And apparently in your case, Harry's case, you actually chose circumstances that would bring you to a school and allow you the opportunity to participate in the teaching, which might not have happened with your natural parents, for example.
Would definitely not have happened with my natural parent and parents, and yet they were the only ones that could get close enough to the parents that raised me in the way that developed that allowed the development of an inner soul that is now operative and I'm able to work with.
And I think, George, you have a very good point about emphasizing that the, quote, supernatural power to know all the particulars is something that it said that you now possess.
Right.
For me, that is by definition an aspect of the chamber itself. The functionality of the chamber produces three sets of circumstances which provide you with the opportunity to use those circumstances. One, you're still being forced to enter a womb. Two, you have possession of certain powers. And three, you have some idea of options and choices. So that comes in the chamber. As part of the chamber, what you're doing as you're working with this material is developing your discernment and your attention and your sensing about it Because when that chamber is real and live for you, you will use that discernment. You'll have the opportunity to use the discernment. It's a beautifully written chamber. I'm quite in love with this chamber. And I say that this is the best prayer in the whole ABD because it starts with a laugh. What a bummer! That all this time I haven't been able to liberate myself or even ask for help. What a good prayer to remind yourself every day. Come on, man, get with it. When are you going to do it? How about now? Or, as my friend Mr. Hart says, I am here. This is God's space, and I will love.
And then it goes, well, so many others were able to liberate themselves. Damn him.
Hey, David?
Go ahead, Harry.
I only found out in 2007, after my mother passed away, when I found a letter that my grandfather had written to her, telling her that how nice they were going to name me after him, Harry, instead of the name Butch, which I had been given. And I find it hard to think of a Butch coming into the work. I don't know. It just struck me as fortuitous turn of events.
Somewhere in one of the earlier chambers it said, what is your true name?
Oh, I was shocked when I saw that, and I've saved that little remnant, and every day I'm grateful for the parents that I did get.
Well, that's okay, Butch, because we love you anyway.
Oh, God. I brought it into the space.
Oh, my.
But you may have a new nickname, Harry.
I'm sorry, George. What was that?
Oh, I just said you may have a new nickname.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We need to check with the...
So, these, on the surface, another thing you can do, and I did this with a practical work on self class mm-hmm. on Sunday, is you read a chamber and just read it over and over and over again. Not with any meaning or thought, but just as a discipline, as a mantra in a sense, pick a chamber, one of these three, if they work for you, and read it over and over again. You finish, you pause, read it again. Finish, read it again. And something starts to sink in mm-hmm. in a very interesting and mm-hmm. unusual way. Mm-hmm. So give it a shot. Give it a shot. Next week, there's a little more meat that we'll discern on 46, and we'll take that one by itself. But
mm-hmm.
Just an interesting set there, that's all. Pulling those together as, in a sense, one presentation.
Yeah.
I think it was that seem okay for you?
I really like it that way,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because they overlap anyway, and so it's helpful.
I think they do. Anyway, how are we doing over there, Dan? Any more comments? Simon is in a different nation. He's actually in a different hemisphere.
But he did have a question, and he wanted to know about
the bigger and badder demon.
A bigger and better demon. And I'm going to... Pardon me? And why would we do such a thing, yeah. I'm going to just reference the location of the instruction to visualize a bigger and better demon, and then give you some information to look at in one of the appendices. So in the 43rd chamber, it says, visualize the beloved as a huge and terrible demon, etc. In the 44th chamber, it says, take a bigger part in the drama by creating a bigger and better demon. And in the earlier chamber, which I'm not going to go back and find now, there is another statement of the same type. And where you want to look about the demons and their information for us, their teaching for us, there is a section called Appendix B, Labyrinth Games. And if you look at number 56, it's called Beauty and the Beast. And if we think about the fairy tale that we know about, Beauty and the Beast, the demon and the god in these stories, it says Beauty and the Beast games the most beautiful colors, sounds, creations, textures, etc. And then the most ugly, disgusting, horrid colors, sounds, creations, etc. So if you can, for yourself, possibly use some of your imagination and play around either in artistic form or game form or story form, what comes to mind when you think of Beauty and the Beast? And then next week we'll have some more of the instruction to visualize the beloved as a demon.
But think of yourself actually doing this practice.
You have to.
So if you're actually doing the practice, you're being assailed by demons.
Yeah.
You do not take refuge.
No.
And then you create a bigger and badder demon. You are developing a sense of discernment right there. You are moving yourself away from identification with the demons,
mm-hmm.
and you're recognizing, I am the one that's creating this to begin with.
Yeah.
So the act of doing it creates an inner sense of you creating this whole drama anyway.
And that's why they're called labyrinth games, because they give you the opportunity. Yeah, that's what you were going to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They, yeah. Yeah. And that's what we have, is we've got these tools now.
So,
good.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, these chambers, I think we made it very clear, are matters of practice. Take the practice into your life during the coming week, and if you're able to, report back. Tell us what you have found out. But tell us what you found out. Either you can send me an email, you can post on the site, or just talk about it next week and say, gosh, here's what I tried, and here's what happened. So bottom line is, make a practice of this in the development of your own discernment, and let's see what tools we get from that.
And remind us next week, Simon, if we haven't addressed the question thoroughly enough.
Yeah, you need to do a little bit of work with it, too, and read those labyrinth games, and that might help you a bit, too, Simon. So anyway, thank you again for coming. It's 7 o'clock. Our time's pretty much run out, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, Dave and Pat.
Yeah.